Our text today we want to look at is verse number 7 of 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'll read that verse with you again. It says, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." The last Lord's Day, as we recommenced again our study of 1 Peter after our break over the summer season, we started by looking at God's plan for a blessed marriage. And that plan really is highlighted for us in the opening 7 verses of this chapter 3 here of the book of 1 Peter. And in considering that plan, we saw from the word likewise that is used both in verse 1 and verse 7 of the chapter, how the Christian husband and the Christian wife is to follow the example of Christ in their life. Indeed, they are to follow Christ with a spirit of meekness, and in their married life, they must ever be those who are looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of their faith. Yes, the Lord Himself is to be their pattern and their standard in all things in their married life together. Also, as we thought further of God's plan for a blessed marriage, we saw how the Christian wife is to be in subjection unto her own husband. It says there in verse 1 of the chapter, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands." Now, the reason for such subjection is because the Lord commands it. And also, in the case where the husband is still unsaved, we saw from the Scriptures how such subjection gives the Christian wife an opportunity to be a good witness to her husband and thus also win her husband to the Lord in salvation. We also noted as well from the Scriptures that such subjection is really an adornment, something that is greatly prized and cherished by the Lord Himself. And you see that in verse 4 of the chapter it says, "Even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price," something the Lord highly values. But today we're going to look at the final part of God's plan for a blessed marriage. And that part really relates to the Christian husband and his consideration for his wife. And that consideration of the Christian husband for his wife is outlined for us here in our text today in verse 7 of the chapter, where it says, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honour unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." The casual reader here of this passage might be tempted to say that Peter here is unfair, because he writes in 6 verses that concerns the wife. There's 6 verses here in the chapter that pertains to the wife. Well, there's only one we see here that pertains to the husband. And the casual reader might be forced to say, well, surely Peter is being unfair in this. You know, there's nothing by coincidence in the Scriptures. It is all in God's order and God's plan. Every jot and every tittle is of God. And the reason for this is because these believing wives in the day of the Apostle Peter, they were experiencing a whole new situation and they needed much help. They needed much guidance. You see, in Bible times, especially during the rule of the Roman Empire in the New Testament times, women in general were kept down. As a general rule, they were kept down in society. However, once these wives were saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they now had a glorious freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, all their sins were forgiven through the blood of Christ. The dominion of sin in their life was broken, and they now had a new life in Christ, and they were on their way to heaven. And this freedom meant, yes, many new situations, many new challenges that they were to face in their own personal life. And along with this, yes, many of them still had unsaved husbands thus they needed much help. They needed much encouragement in their new Christian life. Hence the reason why Peter says more to them here in this passage than he does to the husband. Yes, the reason why Peter devotes more time in the chapter to the Christian wife than why he does to the Christian husband. Now, whenever Peter here deals with the Christian husband and his consideration of his wife in verse 7, there are four important things I want us to note and to look at this morning, briefly and simply. You'll see with me here, first of all, the husband's consideration of his wife's physical needs. And you see that from what is said in the verse there, verse number 7. It says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them. Notice that word dwell. It really means to abide together. And it really shows us here how marriage is a physical relationship, when both husband and wife are to spend time together. Think of what God said about marriage in the book of Genesis. He says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Thus we can say today that a blessed marriage is much more than just the husband and the wife sharing the same address. Yes, it means the husband spending time with his wife in the home. It means the husband giving up his time to his wife in the home. Yes, we can say today that it is not a good thing if the husband is away and separated from his wife and from his home for a long period of time. It is something that is not good for the marriage or the home of the family. Often husbands and wives can be like ships passing in the night in their home. A recent survey said that many husbands and wives spend on average only 30 to 40 minutes per day talking to each other in their home. Yes, while the wife is at home, the husband can spend long hours at work, maybe followed by hours and time of recreation. And then he has very little time left for his wife at the end of the day. Well, that is not God's plan for a blessed marriage. Our text says here in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, husbands, dwell with them. By those of us who are Christian husbands in the meeting this morning, we are to spend time with our wives. That's the teaching here of the verse. It says in the book of Proverbs to the husband, it says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Indeed, outside of the Lord's company, the company of our wives ought to be the company that we delight in and cherish in most of all. It's also important here to note that in the original language here of the New Testament, these words, that little phrase there, dwell with them in verse 7, it also conveys the thought of the husband providing for the needs of his wife and providing for the needs of the home. Yes, it really implies that the husband is to be the chief provider for the home. Yes, there may be times when the husband cannot provide, maybe due to ill health or due to unemployment, and that can happen. But over and above this, it is God's plan that the husband provide for the wife and for the home. Indeed, the reason why the husband is to provide by his own employment is so that the wife is able to give herself to the chief responsibility in her marriage and in her home. And that chief responsibility is that of her caring for her home and caring for her family when there are children in the home. You think of the counsel of the Apostle Paul to the women in Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says there to the older women in the church, he says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, can I say this morning that the Bible does not say that it is wrong for the wife to work out from the home? I don't want you going home thinking that I said that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not say that it is wrong for the wife to go out and work from the home. However, her first priority in marriage is to our home. It is to our family. God's plan is that the wife be a homemaker, and that is why the husband is to dwell with his wife and provide for her so that she may have opportunity to care for her home and care for her family. Yes, we see here in the verse the husband's consideration of the physical needs of his wife. But notice secondly here, the husband's consideration of his wife's intellectual needs. Look again at verse number 7. It says, husbands, dwell with them. Notice the next little phrase. It says, according to knowledge. And that knowledge there speaks of the husband knowing his wife. It speaks of the husband being aware of the needs of his wife. Whenever Mrs. Einstein was asked if she understood her husband's theory of relativity, he was the great scientist, she replied, no. But I understand the doctor. I know the doctor. In other words, she was saying that she knew her husband. She was aware of his own personal needs. And likewise, every husband must also know his own wife and be aware of the needs of his wife. That's what the Bible here is teaching us. It has been said that ignorance is dangerous in any area of life. But it is especially dangerous in marriage. Therefore, God's plan for a blessed marriage means the husband, as it says here, dwelling with his wife according to knowledge. Christian husband in the meeting this morning, yes, you and I, we are to be aware of our wife's feelings, of the needs of our wives, the fears of our wives, the hopes of our wives. Yes, we are to listen to our wives. We are to share life's problems with our wives. This is something that is set before us in the Scriptures. You have an example of this in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 8. At that time, Hannah was being mocked by her adversary because of her barrenness. And it says, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? There we see how Elkanah was very much aware of his wife's needs and indeed his wife's griefs at that particular time. Can I say also to you, our Christian husbands in the meeting this morning, yes, should there be times when you feel to agree with your wife maybe on certain matters, then you must still love your wife. You must still avoid bitterness toward your wife and avoid anger rising up between you and that relationship that you have with your wife. That's the teaching of the Scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 26, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Christian husband, never allow the day to end with you having a bitter or an angry spirit toward your wife, perhaps because of some disagreement. And can I say to all of us who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting this morning, that same advice that applies in all our relationships in life, day by day, in our homes, in our families, yes, but also in the workplace, in our society, and in the work of God itself. How important it is. Then we see something else here from our text. We see in the third place the husband's consideration of his wife's emotional needs. Look again at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It speaks of the husband. It says of the husband giving honor unto his wife as unto the weaker vessel. And that phrase there, the weaker vessel, it refers to the wife's physical weakness. And my, the husband must always remember that his wife is the weaker vessel. And he must always treat her as the weaker vessel in the marriage. In doing so, he must always be kind and courteous to his wife. You know how it is whenever a young couple start courting and start going out together. The boyfriend, yes, in order to win his girlfriend's love, he'll go out of his way to be thoughtful and to be courteous towards his girlfriend. You know, that's how the husband is to treat his wife throughout their married life and throughout their married years together. Christian husband, yes, you and I are always to remember to show kindness toward our wives. What does it say in Ephesians 4, verse 32? It says, "Be ye kind one to another, and tender-hearted." And again, those words can be applied not just in marriage and the home and the family, but they can be applied in all our relationships in life, in the workplace, in society, whatever. We are to be kind and tender-hearted one to another. Then we have that word honor there in our text in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It really means to respect. And husband, the thought here is that you and I are to show respect for our wives. We are to respect their feelings, their desires, their views. We are to promote respect for our wives and for our partners in life. This is something that is vitally important for the husband to do. It is important, yes, if the wife is to be a true helpmate to her husband. You remember whenever God formed Eve to be the wife of Adam way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, speaking of marriage, he says, "I will make him a helpmeet for him." There you see how in the order of marriage the wife is to be a help to her husband. But if the husband does not give her due respect, then that purpose will be hindered in the marriage. How important then it is that the husband honors his wife, shows her respect and promotes her respect. Also that word honor there in our text, it conveys the thought of the husband protecting his wife, protecting her person, protecting her character. Christian husband, you and I, yes, we are to support our wives. We are to give them credit. We are to delight in their conversation. We are to confide in them. That's what it means here, to honor our wives as a weaker vessel. In the book of Proverbs chapter 31 and the verse number 28, it speaks there of the virtuous woman. This is what it says. It says, "And her husband also prays of her." He respects her. He gives her credit. He promotes her respect. Yes, husband, you are to praise your wife. Yes, this is what it means to honor her. Yes, this is God's plan for a blessed marriage. It may not be the mark of society today, but this is what God teaches us and tells us and shows us in His Word as His plan, as His ingredients for a blessed married life together. Then there's one final thing to note here in this verse. That is the husband's consideration for his wife's spiritual needs. And you'll see that at the very end of verse number 7. For Peter says that your prayers be not hindered. What does that tell us about the Christian husband and the Christian wife? It tells us there how the Christian husband and the Christian wife, they are to pray together. Yes, it is right that husbands and wives have their own private time of prayer. And that is very important. Yes, it is right that they pray with their children and with their offspring. And again, that is vitally important. But it is also important that they have their own prayer time together. Yes, it has rightly been said that the family that prays together stays together. And I would say to those of you in the meeting this morning who are Christian husbands and wives, if you don't already have a time of prayer together, time when you pray together as husband and wife in the home and the family, then it is time you did. It's time you started. Have that time of prayer early in the morning or late at night or some other part of the day, whatever suits you best as husband and wife. You know, it's a wonderful blessing for husbands and wives to bring their needs to God in prayer, the needs of the home, the needs of the family, whatever those needs are, those concerns upon their souls, to bring them before the throne of grace and prayer. The Bible says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And that statement applies to the Christian wife as well as the Christian husband. Indeed, it was John Bunyan who said of prayer, that prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan. You'll notice there in verse number 7 how Peter there talks about our prayers being hindered. What did he mean by that? Well, he meant that a wrong relationship, an angry word, an unforgiving spirit is something that will hinder our prayer life. Hinder our prayers being answered. Again, that applies in every other relationship of life, but it especially applies here in the relationship of marriage and the husband and the wife. Dear Christian husband in our meeting this morning, if your prayer life is not to be impeded, then it is always important that you maintain a sweet relationship with your wife and your partner in life. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and the verse number 19. Listen to what Christ says about this. He says, "Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Here we see that if our prayers are to be answered, then our family relationships, and indeed every other relationship that we have in life, must be right before the Lord. But you know, there's another reason here as well why the Christian husband and the Christian wife should pray together. And you see that there in the middle of verse number 7, where Peter talks there of the Christian husband and the Christian wife. Notice their description. He says they are heirs together of the grace of life. What a statement. There you see how the Christian husband, indeed the Christian wife, they both share the life of Christ together. They are both united in Christ. They're both on their way to the same everlasting destination of heaven and glory itself. They are heirs together of the grace of life. Thus it's vital then that the Christian husband and the Christian wife pray together as they share that life of Christ together, and as they journey together to everlasting life and of everlasting glory. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it speaks there of you and I who are saved. And this is what the Bible says. It says, "If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Believing husband in our meeting this morning, believing wife in our meeting this morning, as you're both heirs together of heaven and of the grace of life, this is why you should pray together on earth as husband and wife. Closing our meeting this morning, if you're in the meeting today and you're still not saved, let me say this, that if you are to be an heir of God, if you are to be an heir of heaven, maybe your loved one is saved and you are still unsaved. Let me say this, if you are to spend eternity with them in heaven and be united with them in heaven forever and ever and for everlasting glory, and now in time you must repent of your sin before God. Turn by faith to Christ. Trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Depend upon Him alone for your salvation. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in His name." Start out for heaven, being an heir together with your loved one of the grace of life. And then by God's grace in your home, in your family, in your marriage, whatever, by God's grace, seek to live to the glory and the honor of God. May God bless His Word and His truth today and apply it by His Spirit to all our hearts and to all our needs, as He alone, the God of heaven, would know our particular need. In Jesus' name.